gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy. Voice deity, Jim Ward. And me, Stephanie Miller. The celebrity hotline jam-packed once again today. Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of the great state of Washington.
The Economist?
No, not the
Congressman.
Economist.
The Congress Critter. Also veteran TV host, Bill Cosby.
Don't do your impression of her.
Finally. What? We'll be on the yes. She is delightful. She hosted my panel on the Fairness Doctrine recently, and she could not be nicer. Damn it! Okay, and actress Mary Lou Henner in the studio, Squeezy.
Hey now.
Live in the studio.
On the celebrity doorbell.
Exactly. On the celebrity Jim Ward lap.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, right.
She's married, and happily so.
All right. So all that on the big show today. Yay. Wow. Listener Mel? You know, yesterday we were talking about, in these hard economic times, happy things are selling very well.
Yes.
Like the ping-pong-sized Cheetos. Yay.
I don't trust a Cheeto that I can't eat in one bite.
I
just can't.
You could.
I wonder how many Heimlich maneuvers will be performed.
Yeah.
That's not so happy.
It'll be like kids choking on those balls at Chuck E. Cheese. Be like kids hocking up like the Cheeto balls across the country.
When have kids ever choked on those balls?
Yeah, they bounce on the... Never mind. Okay, the point is...
happy joy,
things
joy,
are selling.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Mel, for some reason, thought we needed that in German. Okay, Mel. Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't realize that was a hit in German.
We have the largest percentage of people with entirely too much free time on their hands, I believe, of any radio host in the country. And Mama couldn't be prouder.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay. Oh, speaking of our listeners, listen to this. The CIA is advertising on the radio to recruit spies.
Yeah.
We also have the largest audience of paranoids and delusional listeners, I believe, based on some of the calls. Just saying, are we getting any of the big CIA bucks?
Just wonder if there's backwards masking in those things.
You will kill, 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 die, die, kill.
The CIA is running ads on stations across the country for jobs in the CIA.
Is that how Valerie Plame got her job?
Apparently, maybe. Maybe she heard it on...
Stephanie Miller. Probably subliminal messages for all these sleeper killers out there. Robot, I don't know.
Are you a person of curiosity and integrity? Ask one spot. Are you ready for a world of challenge, a world of ambiguity and adventure?
Yeah.
Ambiguity?
Moral ambiguity.
Great. I need more ambiguity in my life.
You want to learn to kill someone with one finger? The agency won't say how much it's spending.
Like a baby after you do it?
The agency won't say how much it's spending. That's exactly what we'd be expecting.
Mm-hmm.
See, I wonder if we have those spots. How much will you pay us for those? We're not telling you.
Probably from the black ops budget.
We continue to seek highly qualified candidates to support the mission of America's premier intelligence agency. Come on, get me some of those big CIA bucks. You ever heard our callers, for God's sakes? Oof. All right. From the Don't You Hate When This Happens stack, pimp pays hooker girlfriend in chicken McNuggets. Don't you hate that?
Yeah, so?
An Australian man pimped out his girlfriend to have sex with men and then paid her in chicken nuggets. He threatened his living girlfriend with eviction if she didn't have sex with men to pay their living expenses. She had sex with at least five men during their time together, making $4,500, which he kept.
That's
he paid
good.
Her nothing except the occasional
chicken
box of chicken
nuggets.
Nuggets.
Did she get dipping sauce at least?
I would certainly hope so. No, I think that you have to have six men. I think it's six men to get actually the variety of dipping sauce.
I think she's the shattest tail in the shape.
You made dipping sauce sound dirty. I know. Okay. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, please? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
Paul Walter.
It's time for Tinsel Talk.
Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
One of these stories doesn't really fit the tinsel talk as such, but it'll have to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we you giving away our backstage secrets?
We had the that discussion before the show when most of us are here. Okay. All right. Our top story, Jim.
Yeah, I was writing.
Okay.
Shut up.
Our top story.
Oh, God.
Paul Walter runs naked through the streets of Paris is the headline.
Again?
Yes. A French pole vaulting champion has run naked with his pole through the streets of Paris and posted the video on the internet in an attempt to secure a new sponsorship deal. Come on, that's a...
Yeah, that's I wonder if he succeeded.
That's a marketing ploy. Romain Mesnil, he won a silver medal at the 2007 Olympics, used to be sponsored by U.S. sports brand...
2007? There weren't any Olympics in 2007.
The Athletics World Championships in Osaka. Well, see, no wonder he couldn't get a sponsor. It wasn't an actual Olympics.
Was it? Wait a minute.
No, it's 2008.
Yeah, 2008 would be.
2007 Athletics World Championships in Osaka. It's some other thing.
Oh, no, that's not the Olympics.
No, it's a whole different thing.
Okay. Anyway, he used to be sponsored by Nike, and his contract expired last year and was not renewed.
Hmm.
And so he's trying this. We have
not likely to be.
Yes, all right.
Eh bien, oh, it's the Paris chief of police speaking.
Oh, thank you.
Eh bien, so this débile decides to take to the streets of Paris and nothing but his birthday suit. It is a big yawn for us. We're used to such exhibits as the Folie Bergère, the Crazy Horse Revue, Brigitte Bardot, Topless Blazing, blah, 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 etc. This petit fou sprints with the arrondissement with his cornichon and picholine wagging like the finger of a salope, scolding a client for underpaying her. We have seen it all and then some. But we expect a soupçon sans froid if it's any Frenchman with little self-respect, n'est-ce pas? Not only that, but we are talking about Paris, where fierté municipale is fierce in our hearts. So what happens? This investigant gallops past a gaggle of jeunes filles in their revealing summer dresses, their long legs twinkling in the Parisian sunlight, their tender bosoms barely restrained by the thin cotton peasant blouses, their bare mitres gleaming like the alabaster statues that adorn our ville. And voilà! He is suddenly sporting two poles, one considerably lower than the other, and which catches the curve in front of the Louvre, his momentum propelling him in a grand arch directly into and through the pyramid of glass in the courtyard. Sacre bleu! He is now down a tantamount for indecent exposure, destruction of municipal property, and generally looking like a putz. I say save it for the Olympique, monsieur. You know, sometimes I almost think Bill O'Reilly is right. I think I'll boycott myself because of his connery. I would choke down a sandwich of Velveeta and Bologna on Wonder Bread and wash it down with Boone's Farm in protest. I just threw up in my mouth a petit peu.
And finally, Isabella Rossellini returns with fresh porno. Huh?
Porno?
What?
She's starring in a porno?
It's a web series.
Not exactly. Isn't she a little old for that?
It's a green porno. It's called it's a Sundance Channel online series, which just kicked off its second season. In each short, she explores nature's most fascinating sexual habits.
Okay, yeah. So it's not
it's
her.
Like a dirty National Geographic special.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. This season is devoted to sea creatures.
Dirty sea creatures?
Yeah.
Not dirty. Well, every creature is dirty when it's. Has to be. Okay. Who do we have on this?
Squeezy McFeelpants.
Oh, of course we do. That, you know, the congressman that, Chris, what did he, we banned the sexy teenage cheerleading.
Oh, yeah, Representative Squeezy McFeelpants.
Yeah, that guy, uh-huh.
Oh, my. First there was blue velvet, now there's green porno, but that Italian biscotti Isabella Rossellini has always made me red hot. You probably suspect that yours truly has a vast repertoire of sexual techniques as befits an experienced and creative lover. But now watching her cavort among the creatures of the earth, describing a whale's 6-foot erection and the multiple variations of vaginas and penises and rubbings and penetrations that they get up to. What? You say it all the time on the show. they get up to. I realize my knowledge is only half-vast. Half-vast, get it? I shall put myself under her instruction in order to experience the delights of serial hermaphrodism like the limpet. I gladly explore. Hermaphrodite? What? No. Mr. Olympic, remember? I'll gladly explore the delights of being female if she'll be my male. We'll explore the multiple genitalia and spiky pain bobs of snails as we drive each other into a mutual poking ecstasy with each sharp thrust. Then I shall be her barnacle and attach myself far away from her and make my you know, grow and grow and grow till I reach that ultimate hard-shelled goal. My desire to be a male anglerfish, lured by her luminescent fate, pushing my whole body into hers and becoming her own personal sperm bank. He's so strong, I might have been willing to be her praying mantis and let her eat my head while I continue to copulate, driven to a suicidal frenzy by her green carapace, not caring that one end of me is being devoured so long as the other end is, you know. Whatever. Yeah, okay.
Okay, here they are.
Took you long enough.
Those security guards are sleeping on the job.
They certainly are.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. I believe Jim would let Isabella Rossellini eat his head if he could only have sex with her just once.
Judging from that costume she wore in Death Becomes Her, sure.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Thrall,
check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, which so far has no dirty stories about...
Damn.
Why not? You're slacking.
All right. There is a banner ad there on StephanieMiller.com.
Yes.
Ding. Check that out. All right. Bill Cosby will receive a Mark Twain Humor Prize, the nation's top prize from the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. It'll be on October 26th. He will be honored with the 12th annual Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. I look forward to his accepted speech.
See, because Tom Sawyer's painted the fence that will happen to give his eye to the blue gunky son of the tail.
I just I'm always happy when there's something you can discern, something about Jell-O Pops. I'm always happy.
I just watched his concert movie, Bill Cosby himself, like a couple of weekends ago, and I forgot how brilliantly funny it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he is funny.
God. I grew up with this comedy record.
Absolutely.
You know? I never was a black kid in Philadelphia, but I felt like I had been.
I feel like he does sometimes have his nerve talking about how you can't understand what some black people are saying. I'm just saying.
You see... Some people still talking with the teleporting props.
He's not a fan of the Ebonics, apparently. But,
no, he's not.
But the...
but whatever that is.
Whatever that is that he speaks. something. Okay. Ken in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Mama's future husband, Keith Olbermann. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, Stephanie. I just didn't know if you had heard last night he's talking about the fudget. And the first thing out of his mouth was talking about the boner.
Yep.
Oh, he didn't say the boner.
Yes,
he wants to date me.
He wants to kiss me.
My wife and I, our heads snapped collectively together, and it was a loud roar. And it was like,
oh, man.
Thank you, Ken. From this show appear in other media.
He just keeps sending me coded messages.
That's what it is.
Yeah, what he really means is, I love you.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, that's what he really
means. Miller.
Say my name.
Stephanie Miller.
I wouldn't mind if he would just say, as
Stephanie Miller
says the boner. Okay.
I think he wants to get married to Ed Schultz now,
though. he's marrying Ed Schultz instead of me.
Yeah. Well, we congratulate Ed.
We congratulate Ed Schultz. That was very exciting.
That was exciting.
I didn't know what the big announcement was.
Nail on the head.
Yeah, with the flag and the... All right.
Yes, he's getting the slot before...
Which slot is it?
The 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue slot. So David Schuster is getting moved to earlier in the day.
Oh, okay. Because we love us some David Schuster as well.
Yes, we do.
Whom we know. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Simpsons are being immortalized on stamps to be launched by the U.S. Postal Service later this year.
Yay!
Well, sure. All I'm saying is Ed Schultz gets a TV show, The Simpsons get a stamp. What does
Stephanie Miller
get?
Bupkis.
Nothing.
Bupkis.
Nothing. What? Could we get a stamp at least? Could we...
Well, you got to be dead for 10 years.
Oh,
or
right.
or not or living.
Listen, I'm working on that. All right, can I have my Masterpiece Theater music, please? Dogs to audition for Shakespeare play Taming of the Shrew. I have to get Max an audition. Owners of any breed except spaniels are being invited to put their pets forward.
Why not spaniels?
Because the play specifically mentions that the dogs are not a spaniel. They're invited to put their pets forward to audition for a role in the Bath Spa University student production of Taming of the Shrew. The director says usually in modern performance of the play, no actual dog is brought on stage, but in Shakespeare's time they did so. I want to recreate the experience of theater as it was for audiences in Shakespeare's Globe, the unpredictability and fun of dogs appearing in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
The spontaneity is often missing nowadays. Maybe I should bring Max in the studio here in the morning.
Oh, God, no. Please.
He would do anything for a snossage. All right.
Including drool on you and knock you over. Because he's so well-trained.
He's not only incredibly ill-trained, but he is bigger than the studio. So,
yes.
Yeah.
He's like Marmaduke.
That Marmaduke.
Or Howard Hughes.
Oh, that Marmaduke. All right. Wacko Jacko has called on the services of David Copperfield to make his new shows something to remember. Indeed. The creepy illusionist has joined Jacko's payroll. He is creepy.
A little, yeah.
This is from The Sun, who I agree with, the paper, okay. The Sun. He has joined Jacko's payroll to mastermind a series of spectacular onstage stunts.
Mm-hmm.
They've met at Copperfield's California headquarters and drawn up plans for high-wire routines and a levitation trick.
Ooh.
Which will be the centerpiece of the show. Orders have gone in for more than 100 mirrors and enough dry ice to last into the next century. That's what else we need here. That's why we don't have a TV show. There's not enough dry ice. We need dry ice. We need a dog.
Rebecca!
Rebecca!
Dry ice!
Why aren't there mirrors in here?
Do they have a trick that makes Michael Jackson look human again?
Oh.
It makes lawsuits magically disappear? All right. Delisted.com, one of our favorite purveyors of the snark, has a picture of Madonna has been caught wearing a fanny pack.
Oh.
I don't know. That's terribly... gauche.
Oh, yes, it is.
There's Mercy holding Lourdes' hand. You know, the little orphan girl that Madge is trying to get her mutant veins on. Delisted writes, I'm pretty sure Mercy's saying, help me with her eyeballs. But you know what's even more disturbing about this picture? Madge is wearing a mother fanny pack. They're very dirty, Delisted.
Mm-hmm.
Why does she look like my aunt on vacation in Puerto Vallarta wearing a towel as a skirt, a hat she bought at the airport from a dude who totally ripped her ass off, and a fanny pack on her waist? That's true. I don't know what it is about fanny packs.
Don't call them that in England.
I suppose fanny packs were fine in the 80s, but...
Yeah. They go nicely with leg warmers. All right. Glenn Close...
Well, they're useful if you, you know, not carrying a big bag or have any pockets.
Yeah, but you look like a douche wearing one.
Okay, Glenn Close sat down with Jimmy Fallon the other night, and Jimmy showed Close a picture of her daughter with 42 baby carrots in her mouth after a family competition. The Close family does a baby carrot competition, and you know I bring them almost every day. Too bad this is radio. She pulled out a bowl of veggie for a carrot off. Close easily won the carrot off as she tucked them expertly into her gums. 42 baby... I gotta try that. 42 baby carrots. What?
Should an Oscar-nominated actress do that sort of thing?
Well, I guess she did.
Computer says, yeah.
Okay. I mean, she's appeared on the Stephanie Miller newscast, so why not stuff baby carrots in your mouth?
They both things have equal dignity.
Yeah.
All right. Scotch more celebrity stack and much more the president's trip in Europe as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey there, sweetie. I got a wax this morning, and let's just say you're cleared for landing, huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, finish up some celebrity stack. The Katy Perry, you know, she just sang the I Kissed a Girl.
That's right.
She chews birth control pills, which I don't think many girls that kiss girls do. But
she chews them?
She chews them.
Why would you do that?
She wants to be extra sure she doesn't get pregnant.
Well, if she would just she's kissing a girl.
If she would just stick to kissing girls, you would think. She recently split from a boyfriend. She'd love to start a family, but not now. She said, I basically chew my birth control tablets. I chew them like vitamin C.
Well, or you could stop being a little harlot. A little round heels. Floozy. Call that be, Missy.
Or you could stop being a harlot.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, isn't this a happy story, Jim? Miss Universe visited Guantanamo Bay. It was a little field trip. According to the website of USO, which arranged the visit, Miss Universe made the decision to deploy Miss USA 2008 and Miss Universe 2008 to Guantanamo Bay to visit troops as part of the USO.
Well, did they make her put naked and put in stress positions? I'm sure they've been entertaining for the
I wonder if that was part of the tour, if it was a realistic tour of Gitmo. She competed as Miss Venezuela, so she wrote about the trip on her website, and it sounds delightful.
Well, Guantanamo Bay isn't just the prison.
Right, yeah, it's a naval base, right. And they, you know, it has Cuba's only drive-through McDonald's, and, you know, so.
Anyway, she writes, "This week, Guantanamo! 3 exclamation points. It was an incredible experience. Oh, it is for almost everybody.
Yeah.
We talked about Gitmo and what it was like living there.
For years without being charged.
With no charges, particularly if you happen to be innocent.
For no reason.
Yeah. The next days we had a wonderful time. It was truly a memorable trip.
Oh, boy.
We also met the military dogs, and they did a very nice demonstration of their skills.
Like attacking naked people.
All the guys from the Army were amazing with us. We visited the detainees camp and saw the jails where they shower, how they recreate themselves with movies, classes of art, and books. It was very interesting.
How they recreate themselves?
My
She's not
God.
A native.
Okay.
Well, I didn't want to leave. It was such a relaxing place, so calm and beautiful.
Well, some people
don't get
to leave.
That's what Rush Limbaugh says the detainees think as well.
Yeah.
They just never want to leave or be charged with anything. It's so calm and relaxing.
Well, I'm sure parts of the naval base are, just not the prison.
Wow. That's a bit of a different...
See what I'm saying, my friends? Club Gitmo t-shirt is available now on my websites.
Okay. Yikes. So the president is, by the way, speaking of changing America's image, the president is overseas, as you know, in Europe. More importantly, you want the fun facts about the cool stuff that he takes when he travels? He's, when he arrives in London, when he did for the G20, he brings a large contingent of White House staff with him, hundreds of security guards, doctors, chefs, accompany the president on his overseas visits. The entourage will include a number of presidential vehicles, including his new armor-plated limousine, The Beast.
Mm-hmm.
The Beast. And an aeroplane, Air Force One. The Beast is a $300,000, guess what it comes with?
What?
I don't think these are standard, Jim. A tear gas cannon?
Mm.
Almost.
I got one of those in my
car. I had to pay extra for mine. Yeah, that wasn't standard. I hope Detroit's paying attention, because these are some things they might want to include that might induce people to buy more American cars. It comes with a tear gas cannon, a night vision camera,
and a nozzle that creates an oil slick behind you.
And an ejection seat.
Yes!
It has more cool things than the Batmobile. And oxygen tanks. Its reinforced steel plating is said to be able to protect against bullets, chemical attack, and even a missile strike. But can it do anything about traffic on the 405? The
computer says no.
No.
And
no.
Gets 10 gallons to the mile.
Exactly.
Mr. Obama will also be cooked for by Jamie Oliver. Did you see that, the celebrity chef?
Jamie Oliver, easy peasy.
Yeah, that was last night.
Lemon
squeezy. Oh, he did cook for him last night?
Mm-hmm.
He was not allowed to bring his mobile phone, even though his wife is due to give birth any second. Because he's cooking for the president. Okay. So, the president has made clear that Bush-era diplomacy is over. Do we even call it?
Did it ever start?
Yeah, do we even call it diplomacy? On a day of dizzying diplomacy with three world powers, Obama made one thing clear. The Bush era of foreign policy is over. Gone was the towel snapping. Bush's effort to kindle bilateral relationships as much through chummy asides and the occasional shoulder rub as by serious policy discussion.
Yeah.
The president...
History shows us that when nations fail to cooperate, when they turn away from one another, when they turn inward, the price for our people only grows. That's how the Great Depression deepened. That's a mistake that we cannot afford to repeat.
Yeah, because the global economic crisis, they appear to be blaming us. Us, pretty much. So,
yeah.
Geez. Boy, we got a lot of
regulation.
We got a lot of George Bush muck to clean up, in my personal opinion.
The United States certainly has some accounting to do. I think what is also true is that here in Great Britain, in continental Europe, around the world, we were seeing the same mismatch.
He's still got a bit of a cold, doesn't he?
Yeah. He needs a Claritin. Stat.
You'd think they don't have Claritin in the Beast? They can repel a missile, but they have no what?
I mean, he brought
They've got no Sudafed?
Yeah, he brought his own chef, his own basketball court, his own everything, but they couldn't find a Claritin tab.
Oh, dear. And not a cold pill to be found. That'd be funny if someone's in charge of, oh, let's see, we have, okay, we have the missile shield, we've got the laser, the night laser. Oh! Ow, the Sudafed, that was my job. Okay, the president.
If there's going to be renewed growth, it can't just be the United States as the engine. Everybody's going to have to pick up the pace.
This is true. Mm-hmm. This is true. It's wow. This economic crisis is just, it really is. I haven't seen this in my lifetime, and I'm, as you know, a thousand.
Ancient.
Thank you.
So is this the way it was in the Great Depression?
Shut up. The president yesterday.
I came here to put forward our ideas, but I also came here to listen.
What?
Not to lecture. Having said that, we must not miss an opportunity to lead.
As Jim said yesterday, I believe the theme of right-wing radio yesterday, listening is gay.
Yeah.
They prefer the...
We bully people, tell them what to do. We don't listen. We're American!
Fearmonger and saber rattle and other John Wayne stuff. Okay.
We've passed through an era of profound irresponsibility. Now we cannot afford half measures, and we cannot go back to the kind of risk-taking that leads to bubbles that inevitably bust. So we have a choice. We can shape our future or let events shape it for us.
But the Republicans are suddenly concerned about the deficit. So funny, it wasn't a problem when their boy was in charge.
Yeah, that's wow. That's a whole other subject we'll get to. And the boner budget, as we've called
the
it.
The budget.
Yes, exactly. Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister.
This summit cannot simply agree to the lowest common denominator. We must stand united in our determination to do whatever is necessary.
Wow. So did you see Obama gave the Queen an iPod?
Yes.
One really wonders what was on the iPod.
It was like 1950s music and show tunes and that sort of thing. That's what the Queen really likes.
The Queen likes show tunes, does she?
The Queen likes show tunes.
As do most queens.
Ah,
now, what did I
see what you did there?
Mean by that, I don't. All right. For some reason, Hannity has turned this into a major international incident.
Yeah.
Date number 72 of socialism spread around the world. The Queen and the iPod. Now, while it wasn't the most important detail from the day's events in London, the president's latest gaffe seems emblematic of this administration's inability to deal with the leaders of the rest of the world. Now, the Obamas, they had tea with Her Majesty today and presented her with an iPod. But here's the problem. She already had one. Oh. Now, it might seem like a minor detail. You know, the kind that a six-year-old would have known after 2 minutes on Google. But after the Obamas provoked outrage with their gift of DVDs to Prime Minister Gordon Brown earlier this year, well, you would think that they would be extra careful. But the administration's tin ear after the last slight of our closest ally is just the latest episode in the administration's not understanding the mood of the globe as they continue to press for an unprecedented redistribution of wealth.
Oh, man. Mark Levin's really slipping.
Yeah, there was a whole salad lasagna of crap in there.
Oh, yeah, people really missed George Bush.
Is that all he's got? Wow, was there a Fox...
An iPod!
Was there a Fox laser?
He gave her an iPod! He must be impeached immediately!
Wow, I guess we missed the whole major international incident that happened in Sean's head. Wow! Wow!
I think the Obama's gift to the Queen was a little better than her gift to them,
yeah,
which was a picture of herself.
That's a little self-involved. Okay, I must have missed the previous international incident when they gave the Browns DVD.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they gave the Browns DVDs, and they were American DVDs, so they wouldn't play in British DVD players.
Oh, no.
Right. Yeah, which was something they probably should have thought out a little more.
Oh, no. Okay,
but they didn't start an unnecessary war.
Yeah, it's not an international incident.
The apocalypse is upon us. Wow. Ooh, I'm winded from that. I need to take a second and digest that. 43 minutes after the hour. Wow. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tim in Madison. I'm Gordon Brown. Hey, Tim. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, as I did some research after the whole DVD thing came out, apparently Gordon Brown does really enjoy DVDs and enjoys heavy movie nights and stuff like that. So the DVDs seem like an appropriate gift.
Right.
They really do. The iPod, you know what? Who cares? Obama touched it.
Obama touched it?
Obama touched the iPod. I mean,
oh,
who
I
really
see.
Cares?
I see.
He gave me an iPod. I would.
Yeah. Listen, if that's all they've got on the right, on what the president is doing wrong.
And what was the whole, like, and Sean Hannity's rant was nothing but talking points being spewed out anyway. He somehow
what?
Found.
Sean Hannity does nothing but talking points, Tim. What do you, what, I don't
know what I'm on. All I know is every time I hear him, I get a tumor behind my eye, and my eye twitches, and I don't know what to do anymore.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Maybe Mark Levin was playing an April Fool's joke on Sean, and he didn't get it when he gave him all those talking points.
Yeah.
It was like a right-wing onion story, and Sean read it verbatim.
What? What do you mean I wasn't supposed to read that?
What? It wasn't a
April 1st. I'm such a dope.
You know what, though? There was a major protocol gaffe yesterday. When Michelle Obama met the Queen yesterday, Michelle Obama reached out and touched the Queen. And you're not supposed to do that. But you know what's caused...
Sean Hannity's got his hour all set for tonight.
But you know what's caused an even bigger hubbub in Britain than that?
What is it?
The Queen touched Michelle Obama back.
That's skank.
Which means... that the Queen really likes Michelle Obama.
Uh-oh. Hmm.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Maybe a story in that.
Yeah.
Guess who else likes the Obamas? Are you going squeezy now?
Queen, noted skank biscuit.
With some hot girl-on-girl action.
Yeah.
That'll be the what the fox tonight. Hot girl-on-girl action. Buckingham Palace.
HLA. Hot lesbian action.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. As Barack Obama is on his first overseas trip as president, a new poll indicates more than 8 in 10. That's like 80%, Jim,
very
almost.
Very close.
Mm-hmm. Think he will do a good job representing the United States of the world. About 7 in 10 people, that's almost 70%, really in the CNN poll, believe leaders of other countries respect Obama. That last figure, in a skosh bit of contrast with George Bush. At the start of his presidency, only 49% believe that foreign leaders respected Bush. I'm guessing it only went... down from there. Okay.
Hey, Angie Merkel liked it when I grabbed her back. See the way she reacted?
Yes, the...
That means she likes me.
As we reported, the Queen got an iPod from Obama?
Yes.
And you were saying there were show tunes and 50s music and stuff?
Yes.
Because, you know, Obama is a fan of the rappers, some of them, as you know. That'd be funny if he, like, maybe the iPod that he was going to give to Usher or something gave the Queen by accident. Now, that would be a gap.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
Daddy straight.
Yeah. The Queen is.
From what we're told, the Queen is a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed. That's what we're told.
That's according to Prince Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle Obama.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes, I can attest that she's a lady on the street and a freak in the bed.
Clara.
Oh, God.
All right. So what else has Sean Hannity got?
He did take a chef. He did bring a friend to play basketball with him. Four speechwriters. And speaking of teleprompters, he did bring 12 teleprompters for this trip. A full dozen, you know, in case one breaks.
I killed it funny. Of course, he read the joke off a teleprompter. Twit. Yeah, Bush never traveled with an entourage.
You read your Republican talking points every single night. Wow. That's it, huh? So that's what he's got? That's what's on that Heap and Helping a Hannity show?
That's what you make me watch every night.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that. Thanks. Barbara in Philadelphia on the Queen. Hello,
Hi.
Barbara.
Oh, the Queen, yes. The Queen is a techie, first of all.
She is.
She's a what?
She's a techie.
William and Harry mentioned they thought it was cool that their 81-year-old grandmother was into computers and iPods and whatever. So that she probably loved that gift. It's better than another damn glass bowl.
I get another Hummel figurine, I will barf.
But another thing, they showed her wearing one, you know, with her little pink dress. She was probably bopping around the halls of the palace. But another thing that's going to drive Hannity crazy, she has a BlackBerry. And I wonder if he gave her his private number. You think?
Oh, the president?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
Ooh.
Well, she is the head of state, so I'm sure she has another president's, you know, number. Well.
She's probably glad George Bush is gone. But on the iPod was were also pictures from her last trip to the United States with George Bush. It was probably a reminder that now she's safe. Yeah. She's gone. But another thing that
here's another picture of me with that dope.
With George, with Glenn Beck, he's gone totally mad.
Yeah, what is with Glenn Beck and the crying?
We're slouching towards socialism, but our ultimate goal is fascism, and he knows this because on the back of the Mercury Dime, issued in 1916, there's a bunch of sticks tied together, and that's fascism. And it was Woodrow Wilson who started us down this.
Wow, he's crazy out of his freaking mind.
Yeah, he's really crazy.
He's dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's trying to organize people around all this nonsense. I mean, we have socialistic tendencies, and you know, there may be some fascism too. But we're not slouching towards fascism ultimately.
By the way, fascism
was in the Bush administration.
Yeah,
grandson of the guy who tried to overthrow the Roosevelt administration.
By the way, what's with the Republican men who always, you know, basically insinuate that all Democratic men are effeminate? What's with the crying? What's with the Glenn Beck with the crying? And the boner with the crying on the House floor, for God's sakes.
It's weird.
It is weird. What the hell was... What was he crying about?
The top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list. And after 3,000 of our fellow citizens died at the hands of these terrorists, when are we going to stand up and take them on?
Oh, well... A good time would have been when George Bush had Bin Laden cornered and decided to
Bora Bora, yes, yeah. That would have been a good time.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah, he was referring to Iraq, where they weren't the guys that did 9/11.
The Army Rangers to stand down. There were 800 of them ready to go get Osama bin Laden, and orders came in. Not so much.
You know what I think they're crying about? They're basically essentially crying because they're losing that in the whole 9/11 binky. That's what Glenn Beck always cries about, because he sort of made his career.
Yeah.
You remember the day after? It was like a few days after 9/11. He was on his radio show. He talked about how he hates the 9/11 victims. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because they won't stop bitching and moaning and, you know.
Whatever.
Wow.
All right. Buddy.
That guy's still got a show. That's...
But he has ratings because Bill O'Reilly has proved it crazy is entertaining to watch. Watching O'Reilly become suddenly unglued is, you know, come on.
Oh, yeah, nice to see you. What are you going to do, Garvin? Oh, hello.
You know what? Let's have you go crazy.
I need to be crazier.
Let's go crazy.
I mean, I'm doing the best I can here. But apparently it's not crazy enough.
It's the best producing idea I've had in a long time.
Yes. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Queen as well.
Hey, I want to get your little dinger excited.
Pardon me?
Can you get your little ding-ding thing ready
yes,
to go?
Oh, yes, I got it.
Okay, so far, the Obamas. Before he left, he had his Nobel laureate, who's the Secretary of Energy, clean up all the nuclear waste sites. That makes jobs, clean up the environment, and stop cancer. On the way over, he called the head of Russia and said, oh, we're going to get rid of a lot of our nuclear weapons. The Russian says, great, they're expensive. Then he meets with the head of France and England, says, we need good regulations back in the banking financial industry.
Yep.
Agrees to go to Russia to clean up, meets a Bobby in England, makes his day by shaking his hand, and then Michelle goes and wows the Queen. The Queen hugs Michelle. Michelle puts her arm around her, and then the Queen is quoted as saying, oh, now that we've met, we do have to keep in touch.
Oh, wow. He's doing too much.
It's a Hallmark card. 57 minutes after the hour, back with stand-up news and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of the Great Strait of Washington, on the Celebrity Hotline this hour. Next hour,
Rita Cosby! Oh, so great!
And actress Mary Lou Henner live in the studio with us next hour as well.
Mary Lou Henner has a huge list of stuff that she's doing right now.
She does everything.
Did you see that?
I can't even keep up with her, for God's sake.
Does she even sleep? I mean, she's just...
No, I don't think so.
A ball of energy.
No, she's going to yell at us all for eating meat and cheese when she gets here. Mm-hmm.
In fact,
she always does.
I'm eating cottage cheese right now.
You better hurry.
I know.
Bastard.
That's a faux pas.
I know.
That's akin to touching the Queen.
Oh, dear.
Roz in Atlanta on the Queen. Hello, Roz.
Oh, good morning. You all are just too young to remember when Barbara Bush was first lady and the Queen was visiting. Barbara took the Queen down for a walkabout in a D.C. ghetto.
They walked
up to a lady's door. Oh, it was a big, big story at the time. They walk up to this lady's door and knock on it. She comes to the door, God love her. She recognizes the Queen, throws her arms around her, gives her a great big bear hug. It was in the news for a few days until they interviewed somebody in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And asked him what he thought of the incident. And he said, oh, them ladies just down here getting their weed like everybody else.
Getting their what?
Weed.
Weed. Oh, she thought it was weed delivery.
Oh, yes. Barbara and the Queen were down there scoring some pot.
Oh. You know, you don't go knocking on people's doors without, you got a cap in your ass, I think.
Absolutely. But that was, right. Anyway, Michelle's done nothing wrong.
No. The Queen obviously loved her. It was hot girl on girl action.
And by the way, the gift of an iPod, these gifts are checked out before the people at the White House ever carry them over there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
And you know what? The heads of state that receive and give these gifts rarely keep them, or they keep them for the archives. They hardly ever see them.
Exactly. Can you imagine opening your door and the Queen's there? That would seem like...
Hello!
All right. Anyway. Hello! We are here! All right. By the way, the personalized iPod, it actually sounds kind of cool. It was personalized with video footage of her 2007 visit to Washington and Virginia. So I don't understand Sean Hannity's whole thing about it being an international incident. So what if she already has an iPod?
She gave the Queen an iPod.
And you know what? A more extravagant gift would have seemed bad in these harsh economic times.
And might I just say, I think the Queen's gift gaffe was worse. Giving her a picture of herself?
That's something you would do.
Here, have an autographed picture of me. My brother does that. He's a cheap bastard.
What?
He's like, oh, here's a picture of me for Christmas.
What, does he really?
Yes. All right.
Oh, God.
Saying. All right. Let's see. Julie has sent, or no, this is Wendy has sent me a future husband for my future husband list.
Mm.
Steph, some MacGyver-esque drunkard in Ohio is facing DUI charges after crashing a bar stool he was driving.
Yeah.
Which I know everybody's... I got sent this story about 1,000 times
for
my future husband list. The police report is fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
Here are the highlights. As Unit 1 began its turn...
Unit 1?
It rolled over and the operator was injured. Note, Unit number 1 was a homemade motor vehicle, a bar stool attached to a frame with a lawnmower attached.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I noticed Mr. Weigel's eyes were very bloodshot and glassy in appearance. I asked him what happened. Mr. Weigel stated, I wrecked my bar stool. I asked Mr. Weigel how much alcohol he had to drink, and he said, a lot. I asked if the bar stool even ran, and he said, yes, it will go around 38 miles per hour. That's a man after my own heart.
Go into the chapel and
The 9/11 call was pretty entertaining, too.
I'm sorry, you said what?
The 9/11 call was pretty entertaining.
No, I was saying that the operator was like, you wrecked your, pardon me? Your,
The woman eventually says, okay then.
All righty.
Oh, the 911 call.
Stool. Yes.
Okay, I thought, like 9/11.
911. You know,
911, sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, can I have my squeezy music? Jim, here's good news for you when getting laid. Men really can laugh women into bed.
Yes!
Sense of humor makes them seem more intelligent. A new study shows that women think funny men are smarter and more likely to be honest than their more dour counterparts. Although studies have shown humor is not linked to intelligence, researchers believe the findings could be a reason why so many Lonely Hearts ads placed by women list a good sense of humor as a prerequisite for a partner. Oh, here's another bad news for mama.
Mm-hmm.
While women appear to prefer men who make them laugh, these psychologists say previous studies have shown the same does not hold true when the sexes are reversed and men are not more attracted to funny girls.
Not necessarily.
Maybe that's why you share your bed with your dog.
Ha, ha, ha.
Perhaps that's why I'm an elderly spinster.
It's that some women comedians feel they have to be sort of dice clay to get a laugh.
Sort of, what? Sort of, what are you saying? I have a potty mouth? What's your point?
Well, just masculine. Sarcastic, cutting kind of, you know, Sarah Silverman kind of.
You know, Fabio.
That doesn't always go over.
Fabio thinks I'm funny. I work out with him at our B-Celebrity gym.
Fabio,
hello, I'm Fabio. Hello,
Fabio. And I'm very interested in
one of the most important things about a woman is a sense of humor. It's this sense of humor that breaks down our inhibitions.
That's what he said to me at the gym the other day.
Does he have the music playing in the background when he said that?
Yes, he always has that music playing. All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose.
I cannot believe it or not, butter.
You would prefer butter, but...
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
I'd rather be hit in the head with a goose than go to bed with you.
He did finally reject me. He did finally say I would rather be hit in the head with a goose than you. It's the oddest rejection I've ever gotten.
Yeah.
All right. Our top story, Sweden, the fifth European country to allow gay marriage. Go, Sweden.
Go
it's
on
your birthday.
Them. Good on them.
Mm-hmm. Parliament on Wednesday adopted a new law that gives same-sex couples the same marriage rights as heterosexuals. The Netherlands, Norway, Belgium, and Spain also allow gay marriage. We have, who do we have from Sweden?
Not in Sweden.
No.
It's the Finnish prime minister. The Finns are not happy about
it. The Finns are not happy. The
Finns are never happy.
We Finns are looking on in horror at the specter of gay marriage as it looms over us. First Holland, then Belgium, then Spain allow these horrible creatures to legally marry. And now Norway and Sweden. Scandinavia has become Scandalnavia. Well, we're not about to let anything like that happen here. We Finns hate gay people. We can barely tolerate them. And then to let them marry and be recognized by the state and be given rights and privileges that should only be granted to true sons and daughters of Finland. It's outrageous. We're top. We beat the Russians. And we'll beat back this onslaught of gay people. Oh, they're so icky with their smiling and laughing and optimism and lightheartedness. It's enough to make a true Finn bring up the Kalier late with Lihabulat. We had for breakfast cabbage rolls and meatballs.
I see,
Or lunch, whatever.
Creepy gay is always spoiling a good session of brooding and insisting that we cheer up. No Finn will stand for it. We cannot let them breed and bring more glee into the world to intrude on our dark national character. No gay marriage, no gay... Gay is a euphemism for homosexuals. Oh, they're just actually letting the homos get hitched. Wait, why didn't you say so? Who cares about that? Whew, that was close. Never mind.
The Finns, famously dour. They're upset about happy people.
Yeah.
Harshing their,
understand.
Their depressed buzz.
I understand. And finally, North Korea has begun fueling a long-range rocket that could launch it by the weekend, said the CNN.
That's right.
What? North Korean leader Kim Jong-il's eldest son, Kim Jong-nam. He's my favorite. Mm. He has said that he believes Japan's reaction to the North's impending rocket launch was justified for self-protection. Huh? Kim had been asked whether the Japanese government was overreacting. Fuji TV said Kim's reply was surprising since North Korea warned on March 9th that shooting down the missile would be tantamount to a declaration of war.
Hmm.
When the reporter said, Kim Sr., by the way, looks pale and emaciated, Kim responded, as you know, you lose weight when you grow older. Particularly after several strokes.
Yes.
Isn't it better to be thin than to be fat? Perhaps father was tired because of his overwhelming workload.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
All right, we have a dear leader on all this.
K to the J to the I, L, and the hizzy. You know, you try to give a good home to your progeny. Try to raise them well, teach them about the right, the birds and the bees, how to shoot and field dress political dissident, and make bulgogi out of them when the kimchi harvest is meager. And then they turn around and slap you in the face. Nam, my own fresh and abroad. How could you? Saying the Japanese are justified in putting in missile defense system to shoot down my type of dog. Didn't I teach you anything? Don't you remember all the bedtime stories I told you about how the Japanese stole our women and turned them into comfort women? Prostitutes? Sluts? Harlots? Trained them on all kind of serious sexual technique? Yeah, Dad. Kind of backfired. Those stories only gave me a stiffy. Sirens! Dad, I was 13. What do you expect? Besides, World War II was a long time ago. Bullshit! We must never forget the sacrifices of our people in the wrong twilight to struggle against the imperious...
Yeah, whatever. Look, you're just trying to look tough in this six-party disarmament talk stuff.
Look tough! I am a tough! Come on! Arm wrestle me! Dad, arm wrestle me! What, you feel you're going to be shown up by your old man? Arm wrestle me! I command you to...
Okay, I arm wrestled you. You happy now? Look, if you're going to provoke and antagonize people, they're going to respond in kind. Of course the Japanese want to defend themselves against some crazy has-been tin-pot dictator.
Tin-pot dictator? Has-been? Oh, I'm only glad your mother isn't alive to hear this.
She is alive! He threw in the gulag for burning the toast.
Silence! Go to your room! But first, fetch me a switch. You're going to get a spanking the likes of which...
Whatever. I'm out of here.
No more allowance for you, mister. I'm cutting you off. It's not time to make a change. Just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want to, you command. Look at me, I'm old, but I'm happy. Came out.
A Cat Stevens fan. Who
that
knew?
Was oddly touching. Yeah. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, follow the roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Oh, boy. Howdy, then. Bernice in Santa Fe, New Mexico, about former Governor Don Siegelman, whom we know.
Hi.
Hello, Bernice.
Hi. Can I be the official reality downer of the Stephanie Miller show?
Whatever.
Okay. Because I just want to bring up the issue of Governor Siegelman, as you just said. You know, he was a governor of Alabama, and he was put in prison, shackled, handcuffed, taken off for a crime he did not commit. It's been proven. He was let out of jail after about a year, I guess.
Yep.
And I think he was on your show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we've had him on a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh.
Anyway, so on the news, I've, you know, been hearing about poor Ted Stevens, although he is guilty, and it was just a procedural dismissal.
Well, I was going to say, though, Bernice, I was going to talk about this later today, but I mean, isn't that a perfect example of how completely politicized the Bush administration mm-hmm. Justice Department was? And look at this. Ted Stevens clearly guilty.
Yes.
But he was.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because, you know.
Absolutely.
Right.
But what, you know, what we need to do, and I just, you know, I'm not sure, I don't know the details, but we could just send emails or call the Attorney General's office, Eric Holder,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he needs to do the same thing he did for Ted Stevens. He needs to just dismiss everything, because Governor Siegelman is going before the same judges really soon. He's got to go.
The same judges that jailed him. Yeah.
Yes, and they're Republican. God. They were the ones, they just went after him with
mm-hmm.
a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe we can do that.
Yeah, well, if that's not what? Further evidence that it's a new day in the Bush, in the Obama administration. Yes, Jim.
Well, can't we get rid of those judges for, I mean, that...
I know.
I know. They're tenured for life. You know, if they kill somebody, it's, hey.
Well, I know. Unfortunately, judges,
yeah,
they are tenured for life.
In case you hadn't heard, the Justice Department asked a federal judge to set aside the corruption conviction of former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, saying prosecutors withheld information from defense lawyers during the trial. Stevens' defense lawyer praised Holder for helping overturn a verdict he said was obtained unlawfully. Although, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just saying Ted Stevens guilty.
But the Bush Justice Department boned it up so badly.
Well, I was just going to say, hello.
Yeah.
It was the Bush administration that did the prosecution.
Exactly.
The attorney general decided to drop the case without determining whether prosecutors' failure to turn over the material was intentional or inadvertent, said a person familiar with the case. Stevens' advanced age and the fact that he's no longer a senator were also considerations in Holder's decision. So, there's a nonpartisan Justice Department for you. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the, what's it called, the Fudget? Steve, if Keith Olbermann can steal from us, we'll steal back from him. The GOP Fudget and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour, Representative Adam Smith from the great state of Washington coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joel in Oakland, California, on federal judges. Hello, Joel.
Indeed, yes. Well, on judges in general, just wanted a minor correction for Chris or Jim. Don't remember who said it, but only federal judges are appointed for life.
Uh-huh.
Federal judges can be impeached for.
Right, that's true.
Well, yeah, anybody can be impeached for. I mean, nobody has jobs for life.
Well, if these Siegelman judges did what we think they did,
yeah, they should be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Joel. Speaking of which, can I have my fine American music, please? While we were on vacation last week, our Don Siegelman, whom we know.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you spill coffee on him in Denver? No, that was somebody else.
That was someone else important.
Hasn't the man suffered enough?
Yes,
I think that was Earl Blumenthal that you spilled coffee on, actually.
Yes, and it was Rachel Maddow's family that I spilled wine on. It's hard to keep track of which liquids I spill on who. But anyway, my point is, he updated us. He's been on the show several times to update us on what is happening and why Karl Rove isn't in prison trading cigarettes for his life. Okay. Anyway, he wrote us over the break and said, we filed today asking the 11th Circuit to rehear my case because we believe if their ruling is left to stand, prosecutors will be able to pick and choose their targets among contributors and elected officials. Yes, this is about my personal freedom, but it's also about getting this important First Amendment issue clarified so the law won't be a trap for the unwary. We need to get a message to the U.S. Department of Justice to help set this wrong right. So, as we were saying, if Eric Holder can be fair to Ted Stevens, maybe you might want to take a little look-see about what happened to former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman, who I believe is a fine American. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the president is overseas, as we said, and thank God the towel-snapping so-called diplomacy of the Bush administration is gone. For instance, his much-mocked looking into the soul of Putin. Mm-hmm. You remember that.
Yes.
Obama officials went to great lengths to focus on how it was actually just a business meeting between him and Medvedev. It was a constant strategy on the Bush administration's part to develop this personal rapport, said a senior Obama official. Our strategy is to develop an agenda based on interest, not to make the goal of these meetings to develop some kind of buddy-buddy relationship with Russia.
Wow.
Yes. Obama.
What we're seeing today is the beginning of new progress in U.S.-Russia relationship.
Hooray!
Hooray, and thank you. It's a new day. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of the great state of Washington, to talk about all things in the news, the auto companies, the president's trip, the GOP fudget, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Women 25 to 49, they see you as a role model.
Really?
Absolutely.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We heard Sean Hannity's hysterical ranting about the president's overseas trip.
An iPod. An iPod. Isn't it time to impeach him?
In sharp contrast, the American people, Gordon Brown, the Queen, all seem to love the Obamas. Love them, love them, love them. If only we could get some reasoned commentary from some... What? Who is it, Chris?
Representative Adam Smith from the great state of Washington.
We love him. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am just fine. I don't know if you saw on Fox News about the international incident that the president created by giving the Queen an iPod.
I missed that. Although
yes.
You say that I can bring reasoned commentary as compared to Sean Hannity, you don't set the bar very high. I appreciate having low expectations.
Apparently it was a faux pas of epic proportions since she already has one, I guess.
Yeah.
Not exactly akin to starting, let's say, an unnecessary war, but apparently...
Or giving a back rub to the German prime minister. Just hypothetically.
Exactly. What's your take on the president's overseas trip thus far?
I think it's been very good. I think it points up one of his central strengths, and that he is very, very popular internationally. Now, that, you know, in and of itself doesn't solve our problems, but it gives us a real opportunity to work with our allies. Mm-hmm. At a time, I mean, the world, as we all know, is no longer dominated by just one country. There's a lot of power zones out there. If we can find people to help us confront the economic crisis, deal with the situation in Afghanistan, deal with our environmental challenges, that makes our job a lot easier. And I think President Obama can do that.
Exactly, Congressman. I mean, that's the, you know, we're sick of people like Sean Hannity saying that, you know, it's like a bad thing that the rest of the world likes him. Like, that's bad somehow when we're fighting an international war on terror in which we need help and we need intelligence. You know, it seems like we're off to a better start, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I, you know, they're particularly focused on the situation in Afghanistan, you know, which has been a mess for a number of years. And part of the reason it's a mess is we have never been on the same page with NATO and our allies over
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And President Obama is committed to changing that. There's a hearing going on that I'm going to go back to as soon as I'm done here with General Petraeus and Admiral Olson and Undersecretary Michelle Flournoy talking about the Afghanistan strategy and how focused we are on getting that right. And the international community is critical to that.
And did they schedule that knowing that you had more important business like the Stephanie Miller show first?
I explained it to all of them.
Okay, thank you. I mean, Afghanistan's been screwed up for years, as you say. Certainly,
yeah.
It can wait a few more minutes. Now, because Gordon Brown said yesterday to Obama, your first 70 days have changed America, and you've changed America's relationship with the world. And I think that is something that's so critical. The president said a word yesterday they probably haven't heard in 8 years. He said, I'm here to listen.
Yeah.
As well as talk.
Yeah, there is no weakness in that. You know, basically, it is better to have friends than enemies, and we have our interests. And I think the president has not been the least bit shy about making sure that he continues to pursue our interests, but at the same time, respecting the interests of others that we expect to work with us. I mean, that's just common sense.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, what do you make of the Republicans? Well, what should we call it? I guess Keith Olbermann calls it a fudget. It's a budget with no numbers. What's the deal with that?
Well, the deal with that is very, very simple. They think that tax cuts solve every single problem, and they also continue to cling to the notion that you cut taxes and increase revenue. And the only reason, I mean, they castigate Obama's budget for the deficits that are in it, deficits that were built in by the policies of the last 8 years, and then they present their own budget, which has the exact same deficits, the exact same debt. They simply assume that you can cut taxes, and that will actually increase revenue. I mean, they simply put on the rosiest pair of glasses out there. So the details are utterly lacking in this budget, and it is premised on the continued unrealistic assumption that has been the Republican message from day one, that there is no problem on the face of this earth that can't be solved by a tax cut. They've learned nothing.
I understand that it has very pretty graphics, though.
It does. I'll give them that.
Yes.
No question.
I understand. Were you briefly hypnotized by them? I keep asking this because I'm just not an expert, and so I keep asking people like yourself that I just don't understand the basic logic of how they keep coming for. Do they actually explain how the same policies that got us here are suddenly going to help? How would it be different?
They don't. I mean, the basic logic on the tax cuts goes back to a time in this country when we had a top tax rate of 90% and a capital gains rate of 66%. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as it pains me to say it, I got to be honest, Ronald Reagan had a point. With tax rates that high, it was very difficult for business to actually, you know, conduct business and grow the economy. We haven't had tax rates that high in 30 years, and
mm-hmm.
yet they continue to make the same argument. I mean, they love to praise John F. Kennedy for cutting the capital gains rate. John F. Kennedy cut the capital gains rate to 50%. 50.
Right. I mean, that strikes me as the reason John McCain lost in a landslide. It was old ideas delivered badly.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Well, times change, and you've got to get to it. I mean, I'm a moderate to centrist Democrat. Sorry, I'll have to say that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sympathetic to the notion that there was a time when the Democratic Party became too fond of big government as the solution to all problems, and tax rates were too high. But, you know, we've undone that over the course of 25 years. And when you look at the mess on Wall Street, at the deregulation, at the regulators who turned a blind eye at everything that was going on there, at the way that the capital markets in New York and elsewhere absolutely failed and drove this economy into the ditch, to look at that and say, you know what we need? We need less government. I think is missing the point of where we're at now. This is not 1994 as much as the Republicans would like to make it.
It's a totally
different world, and they're still stuck in the past.
And I love that they find new people, but they're stuck with the same old idea. I mean, to me, Bobby Jindal, that was, once again, old ideas delivered badly. It was just, you know, at least if they're saying something different, but, and I may I just say, I don't mean to go on a limb here, but I think God hates Republicans because right after Bobby Jindal mocked the volcano monitoring, did you see the Alaskan volcano erupted like 18 times?
That's I'm from voodoo. Washington State, Stephanie.
Yeah, so, you have a few volcanoes in Washington State.
Mount St. Helens was a bit of an issue for us, and I can see Mount Rainier out my window, and they keep telling us that might blow at some point as well. So, yes, there was a certain lack of understanding of the world there.
Yeah, crazy science, watching volcanoes. Yeah. What a waste of money.
Yeah.
So now, Tim Geithner has said that there are encouraging signs the financial markets are recovering and expressed confidence yesterday in the response of global policymakers to the crisis. He said, you're seeing encouraging signs of improvement in the markets. We want to reinforce that. I've never seen this much support around the world. Some analysts are saying that they think the worst of the economic downturn may be over. Do you agree? Or
I'm still very cautious about that, and I think Mr. Geithner is as well. I mean, yes, cautious. There are some positive signs, but we still don't know exactly how far the problem with debt-backed securities and credit default swaps and all these complicated financial instruments that wound up underwater here a few months back, how deep that is. That's why the stress tests that they're doing right now in the large financial institutions are so important. I'm cautiously optimistic, and more than anything, I think we have a Treasury Secretary and a President who have a plan. They're implementing that plan. They're going forward in tough times, and I think the American public are seeing that, and they have confidence that we at least know what we're doing, and we're trying to dig our way out of a very, very deep hole and a very large problem. But
can I, as a layperson, ask, what is a financial stress test? Is that like putting the markets on a treadmill test, or see if they're winded? What do you do exactly?
No, it's similar. Basically, a lot of this is proprietary information in terms of exactly how much bad debt these banks have. It's not something that's simply published in the newspaper every day. So what it is it's going in and pulling apart all of the financials of these banks and seeing exactly what type of debt they have, what type of assets they have, and getting a very clear picture of where they're at financially. It's basically the phrase that occurs to me is colonoscopy. That's perhaps not the best way to put it.
Better than stress. Yeah, well, that's a stress test.
Well, picture it this way. It's an IRS audit, if you will, for the entire company to figure out exactly where the money is, where the debts and assets are, so we can know what their relative financial health is.
I see. Now, before we go, Congressman, so this Republican fudget, the budget without numbers and the pretty graphics, it's essentially going to go nowhere, right? I mean, the Democratic resolution is going to pass.
Correct. But let me also make a point that
so what's the point of it?
What's the point of any of this? Because the budget that we are passing today is really just an outline.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vision for where we'd like to go in the next 5 years. And that's one thing I want to caution everyone paying attention to this process. This is not the end of the process or even the most important part of it. The most important part of it is when we vote on actual appropriations, when we vote on health care, when we vote on energy, when we vote on entitlements.
Right.
That's the tough part of dealing with the financial crisis that we're in, not these budget documents, whether it's our document, Obama's document, or the Republicans' document. These are really just sort of vision statements. You know, here's broadly speaking where we would like to go. The tough part is taking the votes when you're actually spending the money and raising the revenue.
All right. Congressman, thank you so much for taking time. Tell General Petraeus I said thank you for recognizing that the Stephanie Miller Show much more important than figuring out the whole Afghanistan thing.
I will pass that along.
All right. Thank you, Congressman Adam Smith from the great state of Washington. Thank you so much. There he goes. Our buddy, our pal. 43 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the Republican fudget. It's a budget-ish budget, according to the Urban Dictionary, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Miller Show. Oh, dear. Once again, the commercial break conversation on the Stephanie Miller Show, not for the children. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. I'm concerned some plans Jim and I have. Tentative plans later.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal? Adios mio, mi amigo.
This portion of the Mamacita y los Mookies show is brought to you by the delicious new Patron Reposado cream-filled snack cakes. Yeah. Including cream-filled Twinkies, cupcakes, and how-hows. Find them in the snack cake aisle next to Little Debbie Pure Sugar Crack Rolls. The new Patron Reposado snack cake.
Thank you. Okay.
Mamacita los Mookies,
yes.
Muy buenos nachos.
Uh-huh.
Muy tasty nachos. For weeks now, you know, people, you mentioned it earlier about Kim Jong-il and North Korea launching this communication satellite. And for weeks now, this has been bothering me. Doesn't anybody see the irony here that North Korea is claiming to launch a communications satellite? North Korea, the world's most isolated country, its citizens cut off literally from the rest of the world. What the hell do they need a communication satellite for?
That's a good question.
Could this be possibly Kim Jong-il's plan of launching his own TV network? I could see Jim doing a show like that. Yeah, Kim Jong-il. Or is it just a clever way of getting free Dish TV? I'm seriously...
All good questions.
Yeah, but Japan is planning on shooting this thing down in case they do launch it, which they're planning to do. And I'm very, very concerned because if they shoot it over the Sea of Japan and it goes into the sea, this is where Godzilla is on his winter vacation in the Sea of Japan.
And Mothra will not be amused.
Yeah. I'm very, very concerned here.
Yes, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Sanchez.
I just want to watch American Idol in high def. I like it that Adam or Lambert.
That could be it. This could all be a misunderstanding.
Adam Lambert was not meant to be seen in high def. Seriously.
Many of us weren't. All right.
Maybe that's why you didn't get the MSNBC gig. Because they're getting ready to go high def.
Because Rachel Maddow's like 1,000 years younger than I am.
That's right.
All right. And 1,000 times smarter.
She only needs one coat of makeup.
And your skin is craggier than Ed Schultz's.
Big Eddie.
Oh, shush.
What?
We congratulate our friend Ed Schultz.
Yes, we do.
Yay! One of us got a show. All right, I was always the last kid picked in gym class anyway. It's all right. When every other television show in the world gets canceled, then it will be...
Stephanie Miller.
Time again. Woohoo!
Of course Ed Schultz gets picked first, because if he plays Red Rover, he'll knock out a few... he'll knock out a few kids.
They said send Ed Schultz over.
I don't think he'll be replaced by Danny Bonaducci.
No.
Although it would be another redhead, you see. So it's always a danger. Trust me, Danny Bonaducci is always a lurking danger in show business.
I think he would eat Danny Bonaducci.
Stop it.
What?
All right.
Danny's a boxer, but Ed's got he's in a different weight class.
He's got a football belt.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at the... it is a budget-ish budget.
Mm-hmm.
It is 53 pages, hardly even worth the boner slamming down on the floor of the house.
It would sound like this.
Exactly. It's a little... Anyway, it is a very pretty graphics, apparently, and no...
facts of any
yes,
kind?
Yes, really. Right, much like Fox News. Uh-huh. Flying in the face of the White House and perhaps last November's election results, House Republicans proposed Wednesday to recall how much of Barack Obama's economic recovery plan... and then go forward with new business tax cuts and a 5-year freeze on non-defense spending. The sweeping attack represents little political threat to the Democratic resolution that will be approved by the full House today. But as floor debate begins, the 53-page report is the most complete effort yet by the minority group to map a detailed alternative to the president's program. The White House quickly said the proposal would only magnify the Republican mistakes of the past. Isn't that a good idea to just keep doing the same thing we've been doing that got us here? Only worse. If you expected a Republican alternative to the failed policies of the past that got our country into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, then I have two words for you. April Fools, said the Department of the Director for the Office of Management and Budget. Indeed, many of the tax ideas show no effort to temper those tax breaks under the Bush administration, which benefit most the upper-income families. Ryan is the congressman behind it. Ryan would add on top of this a cut in the corporate tax rate to 25% from 35% and temporarily suspend all capital gains taxes for 2009 and 2010, even in the case of oil companies, who are, you know, really the worst off of all of us, aren't they? He shields the industry from an estimated $31 billion to $80 billion in tax increases backed by the president and dismisses any idea of a cap-and-trade system to cope with climate change and global warming, because that's just voodoo.
Can someone explain to me what exactly cap and trade is? I keep hearing this term, but nobody's ever explained it to me. Do you know what it is? Okay.
Really.
Okay, then. Yeah. Maybe I should Google that. And,
Google that. Get that back to us, will you? Uh-huh. Get that information back to us. Representative Paul Ryan, the Republican behind the pretty new budget with no numbers.
We are here offering up our Republican budget alternative.
Okay.
This is our budget with real policies and real numbers.
No.
Computer says no.
No, not actually. It doesn't really say things how things are going to be paid for and stuff like that. You know, the budget's normal.
Things that budgets kind of require.
Yes. Yeah. Representative Scott Garrett, Republican of New Jersey.
Rescind the Democrats' stimulus package starting in the year 2010, except for unemployment insurance for those who've already lost their jobs. Most of the money in the stimulus package doesn't even spend out until 2011.
I think it's a bad sign.
I have an answer as to what cap and trade is.
Yes, Chris.
It is an administrative approach used to control pollution by providing economic incentives for achieving reductions in the emissions of pollutants.
That's what I said. Scientific voodoo. You know what I mean. Whatever.
Okay. It makes
sense. I think it's not probably a good sign, Jim, when they're already calling their baby ugly.
The budget's honest. It's accountable.
Mm-hmm.
It's transparent. Yeah, it's ugly.
It's ugly.
But it's an honest assessment.
It's transparent, all right.
It is honestly ugly.
There's nothing in it.
Yeah, it's so thin, it's transparent.
it comes by its ugliness, honestly. And so we should feel better about that. Okay. Oh, the boner.
The tax is too much, and it borrows too much from our kids and grandkids.
Oh, now you're worried about
that. Yeah, he's talking about the Democratic budget there.
That should be the top of our list. It's taking care of the kids. Won't somebody think of the children? All right, boner. Representative Steny Hoyer, our good friend, our buddy, our pal, the Democrat from the great state of Maryland.
It's hard to believe that you can get to where they say they're going to get without doing some things that I think the American people will reject as policies.
And already have, by the way, in a landslide. All right. Oh, Sean Hannity, once again, thinking of the children.
You know, when we're going to pay $806 billion a year in interest, and we are going to triple our national debt for our kids and grandkids, I don't see how my 10-year-old son will ever come out from under the spending that we're currently engaging in throughout his lifetime, or even my grandkids, for that matter, assuming the politicians will do the same in the future.
Hmm. I'm going to guess your kid will do okay because of all the freaking money you have that you got under the Bush administration because you haven't paid your taxes. Fair share, anyway. Okay. Yeah, I'm really concerned about Sean Hannity's kid, aren't you, Jim?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's, dear God, won't somebody think of Sean Hannity's kid? How is he ever going to get along in life, for God's sakes? How is he ever going to have the same...
He might have to get by with only one jet.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Do you want Sean Hannity's kid to live a life with only one private jet? Is that what you want?
Sean Hannity was kind of assuming a lot when he said he'd have grandchildren. I mean, Hannity may end up with a couple of gay kids there that don't give him any grandchildren.
What? Oh, no.
That would be...
That'd be funny.
That would be funny.
That would be really funny.
That's funny!
Should I tell the inside story again?
Yes.
That I'm probably not supposed to tell?
Yes.
But I've already told it on the air.
Yes.
Okay, give me my inside story music. So I had a friend that used to work with him at his old syndicator, doing sales or something. And when she left the company, she went in to say goodbye to Sean, and she said, and he said, you know, he said, oh, well, you know, what are you gonna do now? Are you married? Do you have kids? And she said, no, Sean, I'm gay. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, it's not a disease, Sean. I'll be fine. Thank you. Okay. Rita Cosby's next.
Yes.
Oh, that is so great. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Rita Cosby.
Don't do that within a half an hour of either side of the interview.
I won't.
Maybe we'll just get a dial tone now.
Right back with that. Or Rita Cosby on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and don't you feel good? Hey! All right now, and don't you feel good?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Actress Mary Lou Henner coming up in a half an hour live in the studio with us. She was just on that TV show with me, Supper Club, on that green channel thing.
That's right.
What channel was that again?
Green.
Is that it?
Yes.
Planet Green, that's
Planet
it.
Green, Planet that's Green. Okay.
I'm guessing she didn't have the veal.
No.
And she's going to be in tonight's series finale of ER.
RVR, uh-huh. Exactly.
Right.
She is delightful. You know, I normally, as you know, in an elderly shut-in, I am a spinster, a box wine-drinking spinster who French kisses my dogs every
yes.
night. Here's And what's the reason, Chris, I can't ever, I shouldn't leave the house?
Because you'll hurt yourself?
Well, yes, I'll fall down. Yes, that's correct. However, I also, our job here is mostly to mock people mercilessly. As you know, and then what happens is I go out and I meet people, and they are absolutely delightful. And then I will soon be able to unable to mock anybody. For instance, if only the what? Who is it, Chris?
Veteran TV host Rita Cosby.
Oh, you see what I'm saying? Good morning, Rita Cosby.
Good morning. What an intro here. By the way, I love the announcer. It sounds like God is walking in. And now, Stephanie Miller.
Many people...
I want to hire your announcer, and that'll wake me up every morning. That'll get me inspired.
Okay,
that's great.
Many people do think of Jim Ward as God. Could you say, and now here's Rita Cosby, Jim?
And now, here's Rita Cosby.
Wow.
There
I
you
love
are.
That. Jim, you're hired. You're
wow.
hired.
How about that?
So, Rita, okay, let me explain, first of all. You just hosted my panel on the Fairness Doctrine a few weeks ago here in L.A.
And by the way, I had a blast.
Me
that
too.
Was, you know what? We had the most, I thought, everyone, not just because it was you and I, but we had such great feedback. It was one of the most spirited panels. And you certainly held your own, my dear.
Thank you.
Everybody. I thought at first it was sort of three against four, and I thought, oh, God, I've got to have a little balance here on the panel. We had, you know, some on one side, some on the other side.
Right.
And then I heard Stephanie Miller's on the panel. I said, you know what? We're going to have more than balance on the panel.
That's right. I'm small, but I'm scrappy. You did a fabulous job hosting, and can I just say, you could not be nicer.
Thank you. Thank you. No.
All right. Now, let me explain. We did not, I don't mock you on the show. Here's the thing, because I've never met you. We started joking about the fact that every time we saw you on TV, you were yelling over a helicopter. And so
everybody else, too, I think.
So yeah. So it became my patented imitation where I would go, hi, I'm Rita Cosby. And that was really the extent of it. But we don't remember.
You know what's funny? When I run into people, they're like, oh, my God, you know, you're alive. You're okay. Because between a helicopter, I feel like it's, okay, let's find the worst, like, disaster, the worst, like, you know, horrible situation. And let's send Rita Cosby out there at 3 in the morning.
Exactly. You're like that horrible, unfortunate storm reporter. Like,
But you know what's funny? And people will laugh when you hear this, Stephanie. I'm the one who always used to volunteer for the job because I love getting out there. Now having met me now, I love rolling up my sleeves, getting out there. And I think if you're going to be a journalist covering the story, I don't want to necessarily always be sitting in the studio doing it. I want to be out there covering the story and getting it, you know, the details hands on. So I'm the sadomasochist who would always often volunteer for those jobs.
Yes. Maybe we should refer to you as veteran sadomasochist, Rita Cosby.
That's probably more appropriate. Yeah. Let's hear that, Jim. Can we hear that intro?
Yes.
And now, veteran sadomasochist, Rita Cosby.
There you go. Yeah, you... It
and
is.
Yes, there is video.
I thought you were going to come to the Fairness Panel Doctrine in a helicopter. We couldn't remember. What was it, a trial? Or was it outside of prison? That I can't remember where I first saw you reporting on something. It was some big story.
I'm not sure, you know, because I've been all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was at Fox for 10 years. I was at MSNBC for 2 years. I've been in many, many countries along the way. But I know when I was in your neck of the woods for a while there, at one point I was up, maybe you think of when I was in San Quentin, because I covered the execution of Tookie Williams.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And you know, it's interesting. I was picked. I didn't know that I was going to be picked as a witness. I was actually over in Afghanistan with the troops in Afghanistan doing like a week of shows from over there. And I remember getting a call from my boss, and he said, you've been picked, you know? And I'm thinking, what have I been picked for? And he said, you know, we put your name in the hat while you've been gone, and you're being picked to watch the execution.
Oh,
and that
wow.
Was, and I sort of had this moment of silence, because I don't know if I had been asked, would you want to do it or not, how I would feel. And I really had so many different, just, you know, separate than as a journalist, emotionally, it was a hard thing to watch. And no matter how you feel on the death penalty issue or not on the death penalty issue, there's a range of emotions that go through your mind. And I was right there, you know, selected when Tukey Williams was put to death.
Wow. Yeah, that's not like a monster truck show or something.
No, that wasn't like a quiet day at the park.
Yeah. Now, here's what they need to do next. I think they should parachute you into the middle of a Mexican drug war.
You know, I have been pretty close to that, actually. I covered a lot of border stuff, and as we're talking about, there's so much going on right now with the Mexican immigration. And I had spent quite a bit of time down on the Mexican border, done a lot of stories in Mexico. And one of the things, you know, I think it is, again, getting back to getting out on the scene, Stephanie, because I was asked, you know, to spend a couple days with our folks in Laredo, Texas, right there on the Nuevo Laredo, Laredo side, and Nuevo Laredo in Mexico, and Laredo on the U.S. side in Texas. And every time I hear about just how crazy it is on the border, I know firsthand. I mean, I'm out with this, I remember a sheriff and a couple of his deputies. I think it was a sheriff and two deputies. We're in the middle of the night, and, you know, we got our bulletproof vests on. You know, he's got a few guns with him. And we're walking through the bushes, and we see this huge, you know, boat coming up with, you know, drug leaders coming up. And I'm like, okay, where's the backup? And he's like, oh, no, it's just us. I'm about to go, okay, I'll run. I'll meet you back in the car. But the reality is, that is what, you know, I'm telling you, these guys who are on the front lines in immigration, I applaud all these, especially the guys on the U.S. side, our local deputies, everybody. They are so outmanned, so outgunned, and, you know, barely anybody on the border, so many open holes. And no matter how, again, you feel on the immigration issue, God bless our American men and our law enforcement on those borders, because they have a tough fight ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Rita, before we let you go, tell me your reaction to Obama's overseas trip and meeting with the Queen and all that.
Well, and I thought it was...
And the international iPod incident.
First of all, were you guys shocked to hear? First of all, I hear that he gives an iPod to the Queen. I was like, what? And then it turns out she actually requested an iPod.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, when is she going to use it to go jogging around the block?
Walking the corgis.
And does she wear her crown when she jogs?
This is like the most sort of unpredictable, bizarre gift. I liked his two-handed handshake, although it's gotten a lot of criticism that he was a little too, hey, buddy, how you doing, Madam Queen? But it was fun. It was fun to watch him, you know, him with the Queen and to see that whole sort of exchange. Everybody, talk about, you know, here he goes over for the G20. You know, huge, of course, historic event. Obviously, you know, couldn't be almost at a more critical time with what's happening in the world economy.
Right.
And you and Chris, and here we are all talking. I think everybody's talking about this. His visit with the Queen. What was the gift? How was the gift received? What did, you know, Michelle Obama wear? It's funny how we sort of all get caught still up in the sort of the pomp and circumstance of meeting with the Queen and, oh, this little economy issue on the side.
Oh, yeah, and the global economic crisis.
Oh,
whatever. That. Yeah, exactly.
And this crazy anarchist, but let's go back to what Michelle Obama was wearing. But people are fascinated. Everyone's been talking about the iPod today. I'm walking the streets of New York, people are like, what do you think of the iPod gift? You know, forget about the economy.
We are an ADD nation. I tell you what. Rita Cosby, just to make you feel comfortable, here is your helicopter to take you away. We appreciate you taking...
Did I get a departure announcement?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Jim?
This has been Rita Cosby, veteran sadomasochist and helicopter rider.
I love it.
No relation to Bill.
And I'm going to fly away, and you guys would love to be back on anytime. You guys are
thank right. you. You too. Keep being delightful.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
there she goes. See what I mean? You see what I mean? She's delightful.
Love her. Oh. She is delightful.
See, and her voice is completely normal, so that shoots my whole impression. It was only the helicopter, because she had to yell over at them when they were coughing. See? Well, I believe we had originally posited that she was hit in the throat with a dodgeball by Nora O'Donnell in the MSNBC.
And she would do that. She's
playground.
She's a little minx, that Nora O'Donnell. She's been moved to mornings now because of the whole shift at MSNBC.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. I was incorrect, it turns out, on that. That's what we thought. It was an unfortunate dodgeball incident on the MSNBC playground. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
That'd be Rockefeller Center, I guess.
Yeah.
From the ice.
The Garden Terrace.
Yeah.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
I should be using my iPod when I go spinning.
queen spin.
I've heard that the queen is quite technologically advanced,
yeah.
While her son, Prince Charles, is just such a technophobe, he won't have anything to do with
anything. Good heavens.
She tweets, yeah. I understand.
She does tweet, actually.
Okay.
I follow her on Twitter. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
Okay, the headline is, pole vaulter runs naked through the streets of Paris.
Again?
A French pole vaulting champion has run naked with his pole.
I thought you said Paul Volcker.
Now that would be an international incident.
Yeah. Yes, it would.
The gendarme would be on top of that in 2 seconds.
He has run through the streets of Paris and posted the video on the internet in an attempt to secure a new sponsorship deal. Good thinking. He won a silver medal at the 2007 Athletics World Championships in Osaka. He used to be sponsored by Nike, and he thought he'd try this little stunt.
And this is the Paris police chief.
Yes, that's right.
Eh bien, so this débile decides to take to the streets of Paris in nothing but his birthday suit. It is a big yawn for us who are used to such exhibits as the Folie Bergère, the Crazy Horse Review, Brigitte Bardot, topless bathing, blah, 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 etc. Let this petit fool sprint through the arrondissement with his cornichon and picheline, wagging like the finger of a salope scolding a client for underpaying her. We have seen it all, and then some. But we expect a soupçon of sang-froid, as befits any Frenchman with a little self-respect, n'est-ce pas? Not only that, but we are talking about Paris, where our fierté municipale is fierce in our hearts. So what happens? This espèce de con gallops past a gaggle of jeunes filles in their revealing summer dresses, their long legs twinkling in the Parisian sunlight, their tender bosom barely restrained by their thin cotton peasant blouses, their bare midriffs gleaming like the alabaster statues that adorn our ville, and voila! He is suddenly sporting two poles, one considerably lower than the other, which catches the curve in front of the Louvre, his momentum propelling him in a grand arch directly through and into the pyramid of glass in the courtyard. Sacré bleu! He has now done a transmorph, indecent exposure, destruction of municipal property, and generally looking like a putz. I say save it for the Olympique, monsieur. You know, sometimes I almost think Bill O'Reilly is right. I think I will boycott myself because of this country. I will choke down a sandwich of Velveeta and bologna and Wonder Bread and wash it down with Boone's Fire in protest. I just threw up in my bouche un petit peu.
And finally, Isabella Rossellini doing porn, huh? Oh, it's not what it sounds like. Green porno.
It's science.
It's a science series on Sundance Channel. It kicked off its second season. Yeah, science. Mm-hmm. She explores nature's most fascinating sexual habits this season, sea creatures, who apparently are somewhat slutty.
Yeah.
We have, you know that congressman that banned the sexy teenage cheerleading?
Representative Squeezy McFeel Pants of Texas.
Yes, he's taken an interest in this.
Oh, my. My. First there was blue velvet, now there's green porno. But that Italian biscotti Isabella Rossellini has always made me red hot. You probably suspect that yours truly has a vast repertoire of sexual techniques as befits an experienced and creative lover. But now, watching her cavort among the creatures of the earth, describing a whale's 6-foot erection and the multiple variations of rubbings and penetrations that they get up to, I realize my knowledge is only half vast. I should put myself under her instruction in order to experience the delights of serial hermaphrodism like the limpet. I never knew that about Don Knotts. I'll gladly explore the delights of being female if she'll be my male. Then we'll explore the multiple genitalia and spiky pain barbs of snails as we drive each other to a mutual poking ecstasy with each sharp thrust. Then I shall be her barnacle and attach myself far away from her and make my, you know, grow and grow and grow until I reach that ultimate hard-shelled goal. My desire to be her male anglerfish lured by her luminescent bait, pushing my whole body into hers and becoming her own personal sperm bank is so strong I might even be willing to be her praying mantis and let her eat my head while I continue to copulate, driven to a suicidal frenzy by her green carapace, not caring that one end of me is being devoured, so long as the other end is being devoured, too, if you see where I'm going.
Okay, I'll go quiet.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, blah, 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 blah.
Jim Ward's a pocketbook of truth.
StephanieMiller.com, banner ad, blah, blah, blah.
Thank you. 20 minutes after the hour. Right back with, Mary Lou Henner coming up live in the studio,
which
is mere minutes away as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Melinda Northampton has a complaint. Call for Chris. Chris!
What?
Hi, Melinda.
Hello. So, I'm a big old lesbian from Northampton.
Are you one of the, what did Tom Coburn, the crazy Republican senator?
Marauding lesbians.
No, but he said the giant marauding lesbians are taking over Oklahoma. Are you
big
a giant?
Gal from South Alberta?
Yeah, I'm a giant one. Anyway, I know you guys are progressive, so this is not like a criticism, but there is this ingrained myth that people have that gay people can't have kids or won't have kids or don't think of having kids. And
yeah, remember, Chris, when you said gay people shouldn't have kids? When did Chris say that?
No, when I said that Sean Hannity's kids will probably turn out to be gay and not have kids.
Yeah, oh. Well, you should come to Northampton then, because we have a giant baby boom here.
Oh, two of my best gay friends have a kid, so I know that.
Listen, we are all for the gaybies. He's been to a gaybie shower.
And we had to shop for assless chaps at the Baby Gap.
At the Gaby Gap.
All right. Yeah. Well, we got lots of them here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Melinda. Thank we appreciate you. It. Yes. Oh, that wasn't you were implying that. We were just laughing.
No, I was no.
Because Sean Hannity, noted homophobe.
Yes.
In my personal
opinion. It would be very ironic and funny.
Mm-hmm. And I think great. Okay. Meanwhile, speaking of the, you know what? I think what we need to placate Melinda.
What?
Is a happy, happy joy song in German. Why? No reason.
Okay.
Like everything else on this show.
All right.
Kim in San Francisco on the auto bailout. Hello, Kim.
Hi. Hey, I noticed as Barack and his wife were coming down the stairs from Air Force One, did you notice that look they gave to each other, like, we are really partners in this?
Yeah, that was a beautiful picture, actually.
It really was so lovely. Anyway, the thing I want to talk about is Jim for a couple of reasons. Most contracts in the United States, especially ones that have big prominence like the GM contract, use something that is called pattern bargaining. It means it sets a tone for most large contracts throughout the country. And when Barack talks about, negotiating more concessions as they've given and given and given, and by the way, they had nothing to do with some of the poor designs that GM had.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have this prominent contract at the beginning of Barack's administration, he really needs to send a message, not that he is willing to whittle them down and take away yet more of their pay, more of their benefits. He has to stick by the unions. It's been 8 long years in the desert.
Yep.
And one other thing I want to say is that corporate America is obliged by law to bargain in good faith.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. Out of time on that one. 28 minutes after the hour. Actress Mary Lou Henner live in the studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Do you know your last name's an adverb?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Are we having an earthquake? I feel some force of nature on its way into the why. Who is it, Chris?
It's Mary Lou Henner.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys. So happy to be here. You don't need to ring the bell. You could just kick the door down.
That's
so
right. My new boots.
You have more energy than any 17 human beings alive.
I know. My kids say, Mom, you're never tired. No, I don't know. I always had a lot of energy. Even as a little girl, my mother would go, run around the block a couple of times and stuff. So,
Rebecca,
I've just always been like that.
Rebecca said, she's just getting off the freeway. I'm like, what, she didn't run here?
I could have. I don't live that far. I can come over anytime you want and ring your bell.
Thank you. Oh, Jim will take you literally.
Okay.
you've been here like 1 minute and you've already done like an hour and a half of material. We're like, save that for on the air.
Okay.
Okay, because just to go through what you're doing, it's going to take several hours. You're doing the season finale of ER tonight.
The season finale. Can you believe I got in just
the series finale?
The series. The whole thing. I got in just under the wire because I was the last patient to go through the ER doors.
Wow.
Can you believe it? I don't know if when they cut it all together. together I'm the last patient, but I was actually the last patient to film going through the ER doors, and everybody kept saying, oh, this is the last gurney, this is the last thing. Like, it was so sweet. I mean, I feel like I was just a fly on the wall and lucky enough to be, you know, part of the experience and everything
what,
else.
No, what was your injury?
Okay. Well, somebody said, were you sick? And I went, oh, no. I don't look like the sickly type. No, they had to, but
they,
I got,
had to take a lot of makeup to make you look sick.
Exactly. I had great wounds, and I wore my wounds home. the kids loved it. They've been using it at school and stuff like that. But I play the mother of the groom from hell who decides to take out her daughter-in-law at the wedding.
Oh, okay.
So we get into a cat fight at the wedding, which, of course, you don't see. But you just see us come in on the gurneys and, you know, whatever.
So your kids have been wearing your, like, head injury wounds
to
school?
Head injury an arm thing and, you know, stuff.
Hollywood kids are so lucky. They get all the best costumes.
I know. They keep putting it in different places. My brother has used it on his foot to freak out his girlfriend, you know. They have great wounds at ER. Everybody said, oh, did you take something? I say, just my wounds.
Now, we were talking about, because you're a well-known, pretty much everything. You're an expert on anything. If you want to ask Mary Lou Henner anything, 1-800-STEPH-12. She knows everything. Trust me.
Thank you.
Because this is not a coincidence. Your book, you were on our show last time.
Yes.
Went right to the top of the New York Times bestseller
list. Yes, it went on the list a week after, so you guys had a lot to do with it, I'm sure. And now the paperback's coming out on Tuesday.
It is entitled Wear Your Life Well.
Yes, Wear Your Life Well. Use what you have to get what you want.
Because you are a food Nazi.
No, come on.
Yes, you
did. I even go out with my, you know, polluted friends, and I don't say anything.
That's so sweet.
When they start coughing and wheezing later, and they call me in the middle of the night with stomach pains, you know, I say, well, good. No.
Because we did. That's how I met you. I was on Supper Club with you.
That's right. But you were eating well. We were all eating well.
Yes, but you have a strong opinion on the eating of the meat and the cheese.
Yes, I do. I do. Well, because our bodies really cannot break it down, and the problem is that it's all about inflammation after a certain amount of time and about the total toxic body burden and all the stuff sort of building up.
And every time I see you, I feel like I should eat whatever you eat because I don't know, you ate a bug this morning apparently and ran 25 miles to get here.
But I do have a green bar. It's kind of an organic green bar. It's good. Live food, you know.
All right. Whatever Mary Lou Henner's doing, I'm just saying, I'd do it. Buy the book and do whatever she says.
Thank you.
Because we were talking about Jeremy Piven, who had mercury poisoning, which I had, but he had to drop out of a David Mamet play on Broadway.
I know. I think he didn't like the schedule. He got, like, Mamet poisoning. I mean, I don't know. He just, you know.
I think it was Mamet poisoning.
I think something happened that he just, I don't know. I mean, I really adore Jeremy. He's from Chicago. I feel this kinship with him, but come on. Too much mercury. Sushi twice a day. I mean, I've heard of food cravings.
I somehow managed to slog through my little fart joke radio show every day with my mercury poisoning.
That's right. And you're doing much better. You're still taking your, you know.
No, I'm done.
You're good. You're good.
Therapy
and
or
so
whatever.
How much did your numbers drop?
A lot. They're really low now.
So, no, but I mean, how many tens?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember.
I don't.
Okay. Because he was supposedly very, very high, but I don't know. I mean, definitely mercury poisoning is a very real thing. I just don't know if you can't do your job.
Yeah, you can do your job. Trust me. Apparently, I have high lead levels now in my blood.
Oh.
And I don't know what's...
You've got to stop drinking out of the toilet.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Well, it's eating the number two pencils. Is that it, do you think?
Are you a photographer at all?
No.
Oh. No. Because a lot of times you can get certain kind of metal poisonings from working in dark rooms or working around those kinds of things. Or a lot of hairdressers, like photographers and hairdressers, get more bladder cancer than a lot of other of the professions of women.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like that. Yeah.
Interesting and depressing.
I know lots of weird stuff.
Yes, you do. Now, let me try to. You also have a one-woman show coming out?
I do. I just put it together, and people have been asking me for years to sort of, you know, perform because they said, oh, you should go on the road or you should perform in these performing arts centers, et cetera. So I decided to put together this club act, and I thought it was going to be like 20 minutes, but then I got, you know, to start out.
Right.
Then I got a booking, and it was... You know, I thought, okay, it's an hour and 10 minutes. And then they called and said, we need an intermission. So I thought, oh, my gosh, now it needs a beginning, middle, and end, an intermission break, everything else. Anyway, it turned into 16 numbers, and I do a whole tribute to Taxi. I do a thing with my kids, you know, for my kids with clips and pictures. I tell a story about having been a body parts model. And how I used to do a lot of commercials in New York. So I did like 4 Playtex bra commercials and 2 Playtex panties commercial, where all you saw was my butt walking my dog, walking around Lincoln Center, walking down the subway. And then one time I was actually inside of an Apple with my legs sticking out because I was the Fruit of the Loom pantyhose girl.
Oh, boy.
Right.
I dated the Fruit of the Loom blueberry.
You did?
Yes.
Excuse me, Jim? Really?
She was a blueberry in a commercial. You just saw her legs and a big blueberry.
I know.
Did you make her wear the costume, Jim?
We should have a reunion or something.
Yeah,
you know, we should have like a Fruit of the Loom reunion or something.
And you said you don't have a title. May I suggest one? How about I'm not on crack, I swear.
People say things like that. Or they say bland food, spicy life. You know, things like that. But it's not bland food. It's not. Not at all.
Exactly. And because you have so much free time, you also have a new TV series, I understand.
Well, I'm on 2 other television shows. One tomorrow night. I'm a guest starring on Party Down, which is maybe the funniest new show on television ever.
Cool.
It is so funny.
On Starz channel.
Yeah. I think it's going to do for Starz what Mad Men has done for AMC. You know, really put it on the map. And it's basically Taxi in a catering company. But it's got great people in it, like Jane Lynch, you know, who's one of the performers all the time with us.
Hilarious.
Guest. She's fantastic. And Ken Marino, who runs the place. I mean, so many great people. And I get to play in this particular episode. I play Pepper McManus, who is a motivational speaker author, and I throw parties and write books about Seniorlicious. So it's like so funny. Let's put it this way. There's a stripper involved.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. Wow. Yay.
Oh, well, listen, there's something for Jim, and you are actually a motivational speaker in real life.
I am. No, I do. I go all
You
over
motivate
the country.
Me to do something every time I talk to you.
Maybe take a nap.
Yes. Through sheer guilt or something. I stop eating meat for maybe a day every time I see you.
You look great, though. No, you always look great. I mean, you don't have just a radio face.
You
know that, right?
Mary
You're beautiful.
Lou. Mary Lou Henner. You are.
I have to come over here and hang out with you guys more often.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. We miss you. Jim Ward, as you know, who, by the way.
He's got a big crush. I know.
Listen, you hugged him entirely too long. That is
my fault.
You know
my
what?
Fault.
Let me just say something. That's going to last more than 4 hours, and he may have to consult his
the Viagra hug,
doctor.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. 42.
I'm all day. I'm not standing up.
Okay.
Oh, no.
42 minutes. He could do an REI ad now. Because he's pitching a tent. Okay, that's what I was saying there. Okay. 42 minutes after the hour, ask Mary Lou Henner. 1-800-STEP-12. We'll talk about all things politics, pop culture, and whatever else. Health and
anything.
Exactly. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, you're killing me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it with Mary Lou Henner live in the studio with us. 46 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. wants to play Ask Mary Lou.
Oh.
Hi,
okay.
Kev.
Hi, Kev.
Good morning, the beautiful Mary Lou Henner. How are you?
Thank you so much.
Hey, my side question is, unfortunately, I guess you would say, I do eat meat, but I also have fruit and salad every day. Does that balance it out?
Well, that helps to balance it out. You know, every time you have wet food, it definitely sets up your digestive tract to, you know, do its job. And it's also like taking out the garbage, you know. So it, definitely, if you're going to eat meat, good to have vegetables and food. But try to, like, not have as much meat because it is very taxing for your body to kind of break down.
My main thing I wanted to know was what was your favorite acting role? Because it might not necessarily be Taxi.
Oh, well, Taxi was by far the best experience, and I think all of us feel that way. I thought you were going to ask me what's my favorite Taxi episode, because I definitely know that one. But my favorite role was probably playing Roxy on Broadway, you know, playing Chicago. The stage show Chicago. It was just so much fun to be able to sing and dance. And
she's a hoofer, you know, Kevin.
Yeah.
Is there any way to get that somewhere on YouTube or something?
You know, there's little things, but it's never quite like, you know, when you do it on The View or you do it on Rosie, it's a tiny little stage.
Jim Ward on this. It's best to see Mary Lou Henner in the flesh, Kevin.
Oh, don't rub it in.
There's 3 movies where you can do that, too.
Oh, really? Hey, now.
There's nothing like getting in shape for a new team. It's like, you know, they say, okay, it's going to be, you know, shot like here this day. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're bumping it up. It's not going to be Thursday. It's now going to be Monday, 3 days before. It's like, no, my thighs aren't peaking until Wednesday. No way. I can't do that.
Yeah. Could we have some squeezy music, please, while Mary Lou Henner talks about which movies were you naked in? Tell us about your new
team. Well, the first time I met Burt Reynolds, we were doing The Man Who Loved Women, and there were nine of us, one right after the other, in bed with him at different times. It was funny. Right. So, yeah, Man Who Loved Women.
Are you really naked in naked scenes?
I'm really naked in that one. But then when I'm not sort of naked, but just naked enough. Like a
just naked enough.
Pasties and a G-string. Okay. Was the first movie I ever did called Between the Lines, which had so many great people in it, including Jeff Goldblum and Jill Eikenberry.
Why do I sense
Lindsay
a blockbuster
Krause?
Run on certain DVDs happening right now as we speak? Various employees are being trampled. And number three.
Well, actually, it was a movie with John Travolta called Chains of Gold, but you don't really see the scene anymore. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we get all kinds of questions about which romances. Did you ever date John Travolta?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Oh,
yes, all right.
He and I dated for a while. And, I mean, well, actually, on and off for like 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were.
That's quite on and off.
Yes. It was like, do I go on unemployment or do I, you know. No, I'm kidding. No, we sort of got into show business around the same time and did our first big job together, which was the National Company of Greece. Mm-hmm. And I had done the original company in Chicago way before that. So we were all like 2 years before that.
So you were the one that he wants.
Well, that wasn't a song then.
Okay.
So we were friends. Yeah.
And now, because you brought up Taxi, you wrote a book about, you dated some people on Taxi.
I did. Well, it was 5 years and 77 guys on the set every day, you know,
listen.
And 112 shows. So I think 2 out of, you know, 77 was pretty good. Yes, I did date both Judd Hirsch and Tony Danza. Well, Tony Danza, like, right away.
Okay.
And then, you know, because...
Yeah, wow.
Because it was the 70s. And, you know, and you
and
know,
who didn't date Tony Danza in the 70s?
Oh, Tony Danza used to come. He used to come in the morning. I mean, you'd see him in the morning in his dressing room. This is like later on. And he'd like smash open the door looking like Dean Martin because he was definitely left over from the night before. And it was like, and so he'd say, give me them herbs, you know, because I had these great herbs for like hangovers and stuff like that. But he's my buddy. I just talked to him last week. I love Tony. In fact, he and I are talking about possibly doing our club acts together.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Like a little, you know, Taxi reunion or
cool.
something.
Cool. Yeah. Now, you are doing the series finale tonight of ER,
yes.
in case you have just tuned in. And you had some ER fun facts for us.
Oh, well, you know what's interesting? Because I, you know, come in on a gurney, in a an ambulance and a gurney. The paramedics are actual paramedics.
On ER? I didn't know that.
Who knew? I thought it was actors. But then I thought, oh, well, they have to move so quickly. It would be difficult for actors to learn the protocol and the movement and, you know.
They're not teaching, say, 40 cc's of lidocaine or anything like that.
And
I always wondered how you can memorize that kind of dialogue that well.
You might have to learn it phonetically or something because it's not something that, you know. But they do it. It moves so quickly there. You know, you think, oh, as an actor, I want to take my time. No.
Right.
Forget it. It just moves, and it's like all the visuals. And it's so funny because I've always felt kind of like a step relative to ER because I, at the time the show was first starting, my then husband and I had a deal at Warner Brothers, and we had two shows we were putting on the air. One of them was called Medicine Ball, and the other one was called Under Suspicion. So Medicine Ball was a competitive show about, you know, doctors, et cetera. And it was on Fox, and they said, okay, we're going to put you on in January because two other shows are starting, ER and Chicago Hope. So I thought, okay, well, let me check out the show, you know. So then I went, oh, my gosh, ER is so fantastic and stuff like that. But I was in the commissary with John Levy, the casting director, and we were sitting there talking about the people we were going to cast in the shows, and all of a sudden this very handsome actor comes up to the table, introduces himself to me, says, hi, I'm George Clooney. Nice to meet you. I'm a big fan of Taxi.
He
says to John Levy, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. This is going to be really something. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. He walks away, and John Levy says to me, he has no idea how much his life is about to change because this is the perfect example of the perfect actor with the perfect part.
Yep, yep, yep. Now he's in the finale tonight.
Maybe. I'm not allowed to say. No. Listen, they sent me a script, and it's all watermarked with my name. So if I sent it to anybody or I told anybody or whatever, I'm already probably talking about it too much, just saying what I play in it. But it's just, you know, it's like there are a lot of mouths to feed, so everybody's got, like, little parts.
Yeah.
It's a stunt cast. There's some stunt cast.
Sure, especially in the part that George Clooney's in, right?
Yeah. Well,
what?
No, he was on a few weeks ago, so, you know.
All right. Now, here's the other thing. People listening across the country, they always have these ideas about, like Hollywood people and Hollywood. No, they don't have family values. You were like any other parent during commercial break, bragging ceaselessly about your children.
Yeah.
You were like one
obnoxious.
Of those obnoxious parents with the My Kids and Honor Students.
I know. Oh, God, I know.
See, if I had kids, I'd be the one that has the My Student Can Kick Your Honor Student's Ass.
Right.
I'd have that one.
Well, it's so funny because my kids, you know, they're very different. They're 18 months to the day apart. They're very, very different kids, and they have different strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, the thing, they've sort of done each other's disciplines and stuff like that. My son, Nicky, who taught himself to read very, very young and was always a great reader, he wasn't much of a sports guy, but he still did the sports to be with his brother, and I'd take them both there, you know. But when, you know, you get those baseball cards and stuff,
right.
Joey would write, like, awesome shooter, great point guard, you know. Nicky would write, great reader, you know, loves to dance, very funny, great comedian, things like that. But he is, you know, I mean, they're very different, but very, very.
But you were saying one skipped a grade and took
they
out them.
They both skipped a grade.
Okay.
One of them skipped like a grade and a half, and wow. He's now 14, and he's a sophomore in high school.
And he got the whatever highest scores
yeah,
on
yeah,
something.
No, yeah, he did really well. Yeah, so I didn't want to brag, but okay.
Blah, blah.
No, it's great. They're both doing extremely well in school. They both have, you know, great grades. And
you were saying
sports.
in your next show there should be a number that's
you
bragging.
Yes. No, we said we should write a story about, like, Hollywood moms. Because I, you know, my kids, people have said, oh, do your kids want to be in show business? And I go, yes, when they can drive. Because I am not going to drive them around like a stage mom, you know. So we said we're going to do a show about stage moms, and the first song is going to be, my kid. You know? So you made me talk about it on the air.
All right. Joe in Miami on Ask Mary Lou. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Mary Lou, one question for you that I've always wanted to ask you.
Sure.
What was it like doing that final scene in The Man on the Moon?
The sad one?
Your eyes, I look in your eyes in that movie, and you seem like, you know, all the emotions that came back. What was it like?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for noticing I was crying. Andy went too soon. It was terrible. I mean, we finished...
Andy Kaufman, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Andy Kaufman, I mean, I can't believe it's been this month, May. In May, it'll be 25 years. I mean,
wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy. He died at 34 years old or something. But we finished Taxi, and the next time I saw him, which was a few months later, he looked like he was dying. I mean, he went fast. He went really fast. And, I got closer to him even, you know, we were always pretty close, but we got really close at the end as well, and... Oh, boy. No, it did. It all came back. I spoke at
So you didn't use onions or anything?
No.
Like, okay.
No. Or pull a nose hair.
give us the actor trips.
Yeah. No, you know, you think about something. You know, that was easy. I mean, I was just right there. I mean, believe me, when you're an actor and you use those sense memories, sometimes you bring a letter or you bring, you know, a scent of something or
Think of the Bush presidency.
Bush presidency, you know, that's 8 years of crying. So, you know, wailing. So
that was easy then. You didn't even have to act. George Bush is still president.
I know.
Oh,
it's true.
I was hoping Andy's death was actually going to be a bit of
a
performance.
A joke.
You know,
yeah.
Tony Clifton was just going to speak at the funeral.
Okay. I know. Yeah, I know. But, you really thought that maybe that's what was happening, but it wasn't.
I know.
It's really sad. What,
so speaking of presidencies, so how are you enjoying the Obama presidency thus far?
Oh, I love him. You know, and I'm from Chicago, and I'm from the University of Chicago, so, you know, he's our guy. I mean, he really is.
He's having a great trip, I think, overseas. He gave the Queen iPod.
An iPod.
You know.
I know. What do they call it? Not a royal iPod. Like something, a VIP. No, it was like a special
executive
kind of
iPod.
An executive iPod. And he, like, had a lot of download. I want to know the downloadable list. I want to see if it does, you know. They'll have it on. His downloadable list for the Queen will be what the kids are singing next week on American Idol.
Yeah.
That'll become, like, the competition.
And you know from royal TV and being in Hollywood, but here's the story I love best about the trip is they asked him to move his car. The Queen.
Well, he parked on the wrong side because, you know, it's Britain.
They call it the Beast, his armored limo. And the Queen's handlers asked them to move your car because it's blocking the garden entrance.
That's funny. It's the garden entrance. That's funny. Oh,
could
yeah.
someone please move the giant limo? I just love that.
You know, I just hope people give him a chance because no one has inherited a worse list of to-do list than Obama, ever.
All right.
It's terrible.
Mary Lou Henner, we love you.
Oh, I love you guys,
Jim
too.
Jim Ward a little more than the rest of us.
No, my buddy.
All right. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.